rock and roll on a Wednesday. This week is flying by. Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens, yes, sir.
It's funny you said that the week is flying by because I was thinking on Sunday about you going on your vacation this week, you know.
Yeah.
And I always find, like, when I go on vacation, you come back, you go, damn, I wish it was last week, right? You wish you were just starting that vacation.
Mm-hmm.
But I always have I wish it was the week before the vacation came, because that week always goes so fast and there's so much got going on. You just kind of want to slow things down a little bit, because once you get to Friday, then the vacation kicks in and you're like, damn, I got a week and it's over. And so you like to be like this is always kind of my favorite week before vacation, because you've got that anticipation and you've got that excitement and you can't wait to go and you're doing your packing and you got all the stuff going on. And then it gets here and it's over. And you're like, damn, that went by so fast. Because I guarantee you, 2 weeks we'll be sitting here and Dusty will be like, I can't believe vacation's over already. It went so fast. And I'll go, remember that Wednesday when I told you to slow things down a little bit? That's what you got to do. So enjoy the last couple of days of this week.
Yeah.
But you are right. It is flying by, Dusty. This has been a very, 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 very busy week. I know a lot of the people in our industry like to take this week off because they're not talented and they don't know how to do shows when there's not a ball moving in the air. I love this week, and there's been so much going on this week. Yesterday started out as one of those days where, like, oh, Trey Smith's going to be the big topic today, and then the All-Star game turns into a bleep show at the end. And still this morning, literally moments before we go on the air, I'm texting with Ben Maller going, how did they figure out the home run derby last night? How did they figure out who was hitting in that game? And he responds back, it was just a total cluster F. I mean, because it almost reminded me of that Milwaukee game where they're like, I don't know, tie? Let's just call it a tie. And then, you know, you don't know what you're going to do. And so, man, what an amazing event last night, though, for Major League Baseball to have that come down the way that it did, and the ABS
awesome
system in place and all that kind of stuff. Like, man, what a night for baseball last night. But I wish we knew how they chose the home run derby people, because there's a lot of mixed messaging going on out there.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was a game in which it was 6-0. Again, the over under that game last night was 6.5. I thought Paul Skeens delivered.
Yep.
I thought we saw some fun from him hosing down the first two batters of the game. Coincidentally, they were Detroit Tigers, I believe, right? Believe it was Pena and Riley Green getting fanned 1-2. Then Judge grounded out to short. And then they had Tarik Skubal mic'd up, which was great. Kershaw was amazing.
Kershaw was awesome mic'd up, wasn't he?
But see, the thing that's – and, like, I wonder if it messed with Skubal, because he gave up the runs in the first inning.
Yeah.
And Marte – I mean, they were, like, bloop hits. The Marte one down the line was great. But Clayton Kershaw has – no serious dog in the fight. Like, he knows this is it. This is his last year. He got there by the commissioner.
Yep.
They mic'd him up. And then when Smoltz is like, throw the cutter, he's like, I don't throw a cutter, Smoltzy.
That pitch was the best.
And he's like, suck it, dumper. I thought Kershaw was great.
I did too.
And that's the thing is, like, and Pete Crow Armstrong probably got a bunch. Like, we talked about Bobby Wood Jr. in the home run derby last year.
Yeah.
PCA being mic'd up, I think got a lot of people more into him.
I think he's a big star in this game, you know.
Oh, I guarantee he's a massive star in Chicago.
Huge star in Chicago. And you know, he was coming on last year a little bit. And I was talking about him. People were like, who, what, where, when? You know, even Jen last night, like, who's this guy? I'm like, he's a superstar right now in this game, man. People love this guy.
He might have the name of Sheryl Crow and Lance Armstrong, but he looks like the son of, like, Macklemore and MGK. I'm not sure if you're aware of those guys.
I know who Macklemore is, yes.
All right.
Played at KU, Ben.
Yeah.
Max,
we should talk about him much more in this world.
Something happened with him that I don't know about.
Oh wow. Yeah.
Oh,
maybe look that up.
Okay.
One time. Not good. You'll never hear that name again in your life.
Oh.
Nor should you. But no, I thought that the All-Star game was great. I found out this morning that Eric Hosmer is not a fan of Ken Rosenthal, as he tweets, "Dynamite questions for the youngster Mizorowski, Ken Rosenthal. Thumb down emoji. Really is disgusting they continue to let you in the dugout during these games."
I love the fact that Eric Hosmer is calling out Ken Rosenthal. I don't know what that stems over. Probably something that happened in San Diego or something.
Yeah, and then he asked Mizorowski about his, you know, selection to the game.
Yeah.
That's not what that moment's about.
No, it really
isn't.
And
that's not a good look for Ken Rosenthal, in my opinion. This is that, and we get told this a lot when we interview people, like, what questions do you plan on asking these people? And I think Rosenthal should have had two questions. How's the year been? You got called up. You sold out a game against Paul Skeens. What was that like? Oh, it was really, and he was, you know, giving him just the typical baseball guy answer. It's really fun, really cool, right, man. It's really awesome. And then it's just, what's it like being in the All-Star game? Oh, it's great. All right, back to you guys.
Yeah, that's it. Simple. Yeah.
You had to ask him, like, oh, you know, a lot of controversy around your name coming into the game. How do you feel about it? Get bent, Ken.
Yeah, that's
not his
problem.
Stop making the moment about you.
Yeah, it's not Mizorowski's problem that he was chosen for the All-Star game and people don't like the fact that he was chosen for the All-Star game. If you don't like the fact that he was chosen and you're a player, do better. Play better. And you know what? How many players opted out? I was looking at the list of players that had opted out of that thing, too. Right. It's a list a mile long. And so they just kept going to the next guy on there. And Bud Selig, not Bud Selig, I don't know why I said, I guess because it's a tie. Rob Manfred is picking guys that are buzzing around baseball right now. And that's what you want to do. I mean, they did it last year with Paul Skeens, and everybody was really excited about it.
11 starts.
11 versus 5, big deal, right? BFD, right? So they picked Paul Skeens last year, not only to be in the All-Star game, but to start the All-Star game last year. And everybody was really excited about that. Maybe if Mizorowski was dating Livy Dunn, people would have been more excited about his performance and his opportunity to be in that game, but he's taken baseball by the balls over the last couple of weeks, man. Like, everybody's paying attention to what he's doing, and that's what the All-Star game is all about, showcasing your stars, showcasing the people that are making a name for themselves right now in the game. Yeah. And they did just that. And so I still, like, people need to get over the anger that they have. And it really is. It's the old seam heads. But I'm more interested in knowing why that relationship with Ken Rosenthal is south with Eric Hosmer. That's my question. Like, and I'm going to guess it probably goes back to his time in San Diego when things weren't going right. Maybe he was getting booed and maybe Rosenthal said something, you know, negative towards Eric Hosmer. Eric Hosmer is one of the greatest people that I've ever covered in professional sports. And I've been around a lot of people in this industry and had the very fortunate opportunity to cover some really good human beings, some not good human beings as well. But Eric Hosmer will always be on the top of that list of great human beings for me. If you've pissed Eric Hosmer off, that's a you problem. That's not an Eric Hosmer problem. That's a you problem, because Hos is one of the great human beings I've ever met.
The greatest shortstop in baseball had himself a night.
Reaches out, gets to that ball, and bangs it down the line into the corner. Buxton in to score. Witt is headed to second, and it's a one-run game.
And unfortunately, if Matt Olson doesn't make that play at first base, down the right field line, that was hit by Jazz Chisholm. Bobby Witt Jr. probably scores and the AL wins, and Bobby Witt Jr. is probably your MVP.
Maybe, yeah.
Straight up.
Yeah.
I mean, he would have literally, scored the game-winning run, would have had a double. Probably, I think, in my opinion, would have been the game-winning MVP.
Yeah, we'll have to see how that all played out, but Schwarber gets it, you know?
Yeah, because Schwarber goes, you know, nuts.
Schwarber in the air to center field, headed towards the wall, and dead center.
That's huge for the National League.
They're within one. So there you go. He said if he could get it on his first swing, and he did.
MVP material if he gets a third one right here.
AL rallied in the game. NL has rallied in the swing. Oh! With the hat trick! Look out, Chop House! National League takes the lead 4-3.
Unbelievable.
Schwarber's just a dude, man.
Yeah, he's that guy.
He's just a pudgy, thick, power-hitting, chew-spitting.
John Crucky in it.
Just give me the stick and I'll do it. I mean, we want to go home, boys? All right, give it to Schwarber.
Yeah, let's end this thing
right
now.
And he did. He put it on his back and then wins the MVP, and the night's over. We get to forget about the Pete Alonso home run off Chris Bubich.
I was going to say, Pete Alonso really should be the MVP of this game.
He should have been the MVP of this game.
You know, he's the one who broke it wide open right there. Yeah. I mean, obviously, should have been the MVP of this game, but then we have the extra innings and the swing off and that kind of stuff. Also, last night I thought was the big moment for everybody in baseball. All the old school guys that were able to finally see the ABS. You guys got to witness that now for the first time in baseball. What did you think? What did you think of it? Be honest.
Well, I've seen it live, and I thought it was great. Mm-hmm. And then last night it was used perfectly.
Yeah,
yeah, it's amazing.
Jacob Wilson, the son of Jack Wilson, found that out last night for the first time. Don't know how. Watched Jack Wilson as a kid. And I watched it and I was like, it's a low ball. They showed it. They looked at it. It was over and everybody smiled, moved on.
It was less than 10 seconds for the couple of reviews that they had in that game last night. And so if you're still against the ABS, well, then you're just hanging on for dear. Like you're hanging on to Kauffman Stadium, basically, is what you're doing. If you're hanging on to, I don't want the ABS in baseball because it's you don't even know what's happening. Like it doesn't even affect the flow of the game. It doesn't get in the way. The NFL replays are more intrusive by far than anything baseball does with replay or review or ABS or anything like that. I don't find baseball replays to be really intrusive to the game at all. NFL replays are totally intrusive, and basketball replays, forget about it. They ruin the entire game. Baseball does it so fast, so quick, and you're on to the next. They show it on the scoreboard and you're done. It's pretty simple. So I hope everybody appreciated that last night, really saw what that's going to bring to the game, because I think it does change the dynamic of the game. I think it makes the game so much better to have that opportunity.
And then the first year it ever ends in a swing off in the overtime rules of Home Run Derby. Of course, everybody's upset that there's no Otani, there's no Judge, there's no this guy or that guy. From what they were reporting, that those guys had already showered and basically left.
Yep, gone for the day.
And the only thing that's disappointing is that you did have Bobby Wood Jr. there. Yep. So again, I'll bleed royal blue bias. Like if I'm Aaron Boone, the first guy I'm asking on the AL roster that's still there, still playing, is Bobby Wood Jr.
Said he wanted to.
And yeah, said he wasn't asked.
Yep.
Said he wasn't asked to do it. Mm-hmm. But you got a Rosarena in there.
Yeah.
Not bad. Some other guy I'd never heard of.
Yeah, who was that?
The third guy?
The white guy with blonde hair.
Okay, I hadn't heard of him.
Like the third guy. Tenor. Like nobody knows who that guy is. Yes, exactly. Who the hell is this guy? Oh, it's the third tenor.
He's like Ed Helms from The Office telling you he's in a band. And you never heard of him. And I was just, you know, sitting there going, okay, so we'll see Bobby here. We'll see what happens. And then I'm like, okay, and then there's Mott. And then there's Mott. And then it just wasn't Bobby. So he was there. So I'm glad the National League won. That's my opinion. Because could you imagine Bobby Wood Jr. hit the swing off and won? That's Bobby Wood Jr. That's not Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah.
And the world now officially knows who Bobby Wood Jr. is. By default, too. Not like he like had to do anything other than just go up there and be Bobby Wood Jr. But
Jonathan Aranda,
I guess he's good. And so does Boone. I guess Boone thinks he's good as well.
And I don't know how they determine these guys. Some people said it was done before the game. Some people are saying Dave Roberts kind of said after the game, I asked this guy like 10 seconds ago to like, it's all a mishmash. Like you should have announced that before the game. That's what Major League Baseball should have done in the All-Star game. Like you have to plan for the worst case scenario. Worst case scenario is we're going to extra innings. It's a tie. What are we going to do? We don't normally do this, right? Okay. If it goes to a tie, the American League has said these are the three players that are going to hit the home run. The National League has named these three players. Then we would have argued all game long on X, formerly Twitter, about why they didn't choose this guy or why they didn't choose that guy. The end of the day, when they're done in an All-Star game, they jet. They literally get out of town. They're out of the stadium. It's like a spring training game for those guys, and I don't blame them. They only have one day off now after the All-Star break before they have to head to wherever it is to get ready to play, and it's a long season. It's a grind. I know people don't want to hear that, but these guys want that extra couple of hours to get to wherever it is that they want to go, and so they leave these games early. So at the end, you're kind of left with the, you know, whatever's left on the bench. So I don't know how they determined how they were going to do that. And nobody can really give a clear answer on how that is.
Coming up on the other side, there was a big signing yesterday for the right guard. His name is Trey Smith. It is the highest paid contract to a right guard in the history of the NFL. We discuss here on 96.5 The Fan, your own Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Whoever that bozo was doing the armpit fart thing, come on, man.
Catch Royals insider Josh Fournier every Monday at 8:20 right here on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Wednesday, we'll have our Fesco and Dusty poll question coming up in a little bit, and the drop that everybody loves slash hates to hear, but it is a Wednesday, baby. All-Star game last night. Now, we said this week moved by fast.
Yeah.
We've had the luxury of Home Run Derby, All-Star game.
Yep.
The hell are we doing tonight?
Well, I was thinking about that earlier.
Because tonight and tomorrow, it's like, well, there might be a baseball game tomorrow, but is it really going to be worth a darn to watch?
Well, no, there isn't anything tomorrow.
They all start Friday?
They all start Friday now.
I remember back in the day, some would start a four-game series.
Yeah, but they changed that
rule. So they get 2 days
off. Yeah, they get, Thursday, you're traveling, though, to get to wherever you need to be on Friday, you know, whether you're, you know. So this is, like, really the only day off, you know, that these guys get during the All-Star break. So, yeah, no games tonight. You would think, you know, maybe this would be the night to have the NBA draft or something like that. But no, they got the ESPYs tonight. I don't know if you guys are into the ESPY Awards.
Oh, yeah, Shane Gillis.
Yeah. My mother asked me, who's this Shane Gillis guy hosting the ESPYs?
Just I said, he's a couple beers.
I said, no. I said, he's a comedic performer. And that was all I left it at. And then she proceeded to scream at me about Jeopardy, thinking I was her friend Dorothy. And they were arguing over a trivia question last night on Jeopardy and kind of playing along with it. I'm like, what is going on here? Oh, I thought this was Dorothy. I'm sorry. I'm sending these to the wrong ones. And so I sent it to my sister, of course, and she goes, oh, I get these all the time where they're arguing with each other about Jeopardy that's, you know, on at night.
That's awesome.
I gave her Dusty's number because I thought he would like to get in on the conversation. Yes. Big Jeopardy Wheel of Fortune guy, right?
Big Wheel of Fortune. Didn't get Wheel of Fortune last night. Had the MLB on Fox pregame show.
Yeah, so I guess the ESPYs are tonight. I mean, it's obviously a void that they like to fill on the Wednesday after the All-Star game. So, you know, if you're into that, the award shows and, you know, whatnot, and we'll see if any of our local teams or our local players are up for any awards, getting any awards at the ESPY. I remember the ESPYs used to vote on these things all the time. Now it shows up and you're like, oh, yeah, I forgot the ESPYs were happening. But so that's what's going on tonight. And then, you know, you can watch that or you can just get ready for training camp, you know, because I know that you're a big fan of getting ready for training camp because we're less than a week away now from the start of Chiefs training camp, and it looks like everybody's going to be there. Everybody's going to be ready to go, and we got a full complement of players going forward for the next couple of years after yesterday's event. So really exciting times, I think, for everybody here in Kansas City. You got the All-Star break taken care of, but you also got Trey Smith locked up and ready to go for the next 4 years here in Kansas City. So that was big news yesterday, I thought.
You guys like that contract?
I do. I do like the contract a lot, and the contract for me, it shows me that Trey Smith wanted to be here. After this went down yesterday, I talked to some folks around the league about what exactly went on with the Trey Smith contract. And the Kansas City Chiefs at this time yesterday did not think a deal was getting done with Trey Smith. They thought they were just going to end up playing this year on the franchise tag. And they were resigned to the fact that, you know, Trey wasn't going to get a deal done. He was, you know, at this price point way up high. And they obviously were at this price point and they were going to try to meet somewhere in the middle. But it didn't look like it was going to happen yesterday. And then all of a sudden, the wheel started to go in motion, and Trey Smith ended up signing I think, kind of a team-friendly-ish kind of contract, you know, more for the team than for himself, because when it came down to nut-cutting time, Trey came in and said, I want to be a Chief. And that was it. That was all they needed to hear, and the deal got done. It's amazing when you want to be somewhere how a deal gets done and the player finally gets involved at the end and says, hey, I want to be here in Kansas City, get the deal done. The franchise tag would have paid him $23.4 million this year. He signed a contract that will pay him $23.5 million. So you can see not a huge difference there. Trey wanted to get that deal done. Trey wanted to be here in Kansas City. And the Chiefs are like, great. You got a deal that works for both parties involved. But again, remember that guys want to be here now in Kansas City. And Trey Smith was one of those guys at the end of the day, he could have left and gone somewhere else after next season and probably collected a much bigger bag than what he got now. But he realizes, man, I don't want to go play in Carolina. I don't want to be like L'Jarius Sneed and play in Tennessee. I don't want to play in Arizona. I don't want to play in these nondescript places that, you know, suck. I'm going to stay here in Kansas City, couple hundred thousand dollars one way or the other, not the end of the world. I want to be happy. I want to play with Mahomes. I want to be a winner. And so Trey Smith, man, great job out of you for saying you wanted to be here in Kansas City. Great job by both sides to get this deal done. Because 24 hours ago, literally at this time, they did not think a deal was getting done with Trey Smith.
Mac, you enjoy this deal?
Yeah, I think it's a win-win overall. I think there are things long-term that we can discuss as far as pressure to the offensive line and pressure to Brett Veach. But I think this is a massive win-win for both guys. I mean, Trey Smith, just in his career here, has watched Travis Kelce stay and win Super Bowls and be dating the most famous person on the earth, and saw Tyreek Hill leave and now is playing more video games than football and has his 12th kid in Miami. So I think
13, I think.
Got you. It's hard to keep
that's
up.
That's like horseradish.
But I think overall that long term, he's seen both guys make two decisions and he's going to go after the one that worked out better in Travis Kelce. I think this is a win-win, but this does up the pressure for this team and specifically the offensive line and Brett Veach, a lot of pressure now.
Yeah, there is. And a lot of pressure on the left side, right? From the center on over, I think you're pretty much taken care of. And you and I are in the Juwan Taylor fan club,
yes,
Mac.
We are.
So we're biased on this one. We think from the center over is just fine. It's those left tackle positions now that have to really, or left tackle and left guard
too.
Yeah, both of those positions. Those are going to be obviously the key positions to watch. You got a rookie and a backup fighting for the left tackle job, which is fine. I don't have a problem with that. And then hopefully Wanye Morris or Suamataia, or whoever they decide to put at left tackle, is a guy that can go out there, or left guard is a guy that can go out there and be competent and play that position. Because not only are you playing to block for Patrick Mahomes, you're replacing a Hall of Famer in Joe Tooney too at that left guard position. So you have to be somewhat competent to go out there.
I think there's two things to the discussion, because one, I think there is, if I read it right, there's a team option on year 3 and 4. So if Trey were to not live up to the expectations, you could trade away. You could do the Joe Tooney thing, yada, yada, yada. I do love the fact that Max said that there's pressure on Veach and this team, right? This team is getting older. Mm-hmm. This team has been in this dynasty run now for, 8 years straight? Yep. You're getting ready to lose possibly your tight end.
Right.
The team is going to have a facelift. And the surgeon behind all of it is trying to get ahead of it. Now, they're either going to come out looking like Wayne Newton or they're going to come out looking like Tom Brady. Mm. And what I mean by that is they're going to either try to do too much too early and ruin what could be a better future looking, or you're just going to do a little bit along the way that does cause a little bit of, change or the way it looks. And that's what I think we've seen. Signed Butker, the most expensive kicker in football. Signed Creed Humphrey, the most expensive center in football. Mm-hmm. Signed Chris Jones, now the most expensive defensive lineman in football. Signed Trey Smith, the most expensive guard in football. McDuffie's next?
Yeah, McDuffie and Karlaftis are the next two that they're going to be talking to.
And
those are the next two.
I think this lets me know that if they sign McDuffie, I don't know if Karlaftis gets signed. Because I think Karlaftis, and I thought Gold made a great point yesterday on his show, that people, and Mac, you brought this up, or maybe it was you, Bob, that put it in the rundown, is that this number is kind of a fake narrative, right? Like, oh, highest paid, because...
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Like the next guy who signs tomorrow will be the highest paid.
And it's probably $100,000 or whatever it may be. But again, we have been told from the beginning of this franchise that was going, not the beginning of this franchise, but from the beginning of this dynamic dynasty that is Veach, Reed, all these guys, that top paid doesn't get you paid. We saw Jerry Snead get told no. We saw Tyreek Hill get told no. We saw other guys that might have wanted more money get told no. They didn't pay Charvarius Ward. They didn't pay Orlando Brown, though he didn't want to stay here. I don't think he was going to cost a whole lot. Maybe there's a different discussion for that.
Orlando Brown just wanted a bag. He didn't care where it was from. Obviously, he signed with Cincinnati.
And I think when you look at Karlaftis' number that they brought up on Cody and Gold Show yesterday, which I'll give him credit for that, that Karlaftis' number is going to surprise some people. Because that position gets paid.
It gets paid. Yeah.
And there are two names on that list that have yet to get paid, and they are going to set the market. And that is TJ Watt and Micah Parsons.
Yep.
Right. And, we can have the conversation of the text line all day long. Well, Micah Parsons and George Karlaftis play different positions. They get paid the same way.
Same way.
They're edge or they're DN. However you want to look at it, it's vanilla, right. Whatever you want to call
exactly.
it.
Exactly. There's no,
Yeah. So, and I think Karlaftis' number is going to be somewhere between 25 and 28 a year. And I don't know if or when that draft class starts to take a hit, right? Because McDuffie's going to get paid, and then the draft class before that was Creed and Trey, and they all got paid. And then now the hope I think that we have now, which I think is kind of an unnecessary pressure that maybe I'm adding, is that now you hope to God it works at left tackle. Because if it does not, you're screwed. Because you have the guy you brought in as a backup from San Francisco, Jalen Moore.
Right? Yep.
Hopefully he's all right. The rookie you drafted, you hope he pans out, because then you get 4 years of a cheap contract at a very, very, very expensive position. Mm-hmm. Unless he's got a smart agent after the second year, he's like, dude, your position's the second most position on the field. And that guy you're protecting is now 33 years old. So play your game. So I think when you look at this, you're hoping that by the time that Creed and Trey and these guys that you have paid a lot of money to, Bolton, McDuffie possibly, Mahomes' contract will change. Obviously, he's going to start making more money. Yes, he'll defer, all that sort of stuff. But again, you're going to have other names that may not get this contract. But then again, I'm done saying that because Veach is telling us, yeah, it doesn't matter. I'll make it work.
Well, they pay the right people. They pay the people that are both good on the field and off the field here in Kansas City. You don't want to pay somebody who's going to be a distraction. It was not a smart move to pay Tyreek Hill. Look at what's happened since he's left here from Kansas City. Look at the disaster that he's been off the field since he left here.
He also went to the wrong area.
Clearly.
He should not have gone to Miami.
But that was the deal that got worked out, man. You know, that was that. But you're right about that. Miami isn't for everybody. Let me tell you something. I don't know that I'd survive being in Miami.
I would be dead by 40.
I got a friend down there that owns a restaurant that knows everybody in town that has taken me around and done, like, I mean, the sun's coming up and you're going home, okay? One of those
on
type
Tuesday.
Of deals. 100%. Yeah, no, you're 100% right. Oh, it's Tuesday and the
Miami.
Sun's coming up.
I had to get out.
And whatnot. So I don't know that I would make it in Miami.
It's like
right?
Dewey Cox. It's Miami, man. You're going to have a lot of fun. You don't want to live here.
Yeah, right. No, it's 100% until you're old and you can't go out anymore, right? And then you retire down there and die. But Miami for a young guy with a lot of money is a dangerous place to go.
And horny.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've seen, 12, 13, maybe 14, who knows what the
number.
I know
that I'm hard. But,
is Conor McGregor in Miami?
He may be. But so he went down there. But the Chiefs have paid the people that they believe that they can trust. And they never trusted Tyreek Hill. Why should they have trusted Tyreek Hill, right? When they actually gave him a contract, it was never really a contract. It was a roster bonus,
and he ran out of trust. They gave him the open door to the NFL.
Yeah.
Nobody else could have had to do that.
Right.
Then they let the situation in the airport fizzle out.
Right.
And I remember that day here.
Right.
And then it was like, all right, dude, you blew up in the locker room in a tense moment where we can't have that kind of stuff.
Right, so take care. It was nice knowing you. But again, they never gave that guy a contract. It was roster bonuses. If you're on the team on April 1st, you'll get $20 million. That's what it was with Tyreek Hill. So there was never any, like, quote-unquote guaranteed money involved because they did not trust the guy, right? Mm-hmm. They had to draft Mecole Hardman because they didn't trust the guy. So they've paid guys that they believe that they can trust. Look who they paid. They paid Creed Humphrey. They paid Trey Smith. They paid Patrick Mahomes. Travis Kelce, Chris Jones, all of those guys have proven their worth on and off the field, that they know that they can be trusted. And I've talked to many GMs over the years, and one of the common themes that they all have in different sports is you have to know who to pay and make sure you're paying the right guy. Because a lot of times you give guys a bag and then they just stop working. It happens all the time. I mean, these 10-year contracts in baseball, did anybody get their money's worth out of those except the player? No. And so you got to make sure that when you pay a player, they're still going to go out there and fight and earn that money. And Trey Smith, is still going to go out there and fight and earn that money. And that's why they're comfortable in talking now. The door is officially open and the clock is moving now. With Trent McDuffie and with George Karlaftis. That was the conversation I had yesterday. Karlaftis and Trent McDuffie are next for the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, will both of them get signed? I don't know if both of them end up getting signed. The good news is more TV deals are going to be coming our way and the salary cap's going to go up. So when we're pissed about watching Christmas Day, that's more money the team can spend to keep their players in town. You know, they're all making all kinds of money off of that. So the salary cap continues to go up, up, up and up in the National Football League. But now that's the focus now. And they can start that focus now. And Brett Veach doesn't have to sit and wait and wonder what's going to take place at left guard next year. Because if they didn't get that deal done, now you're replacing a right guard for next season as well. Now you're going, oh boy, left tackle really better take off, because if left tackle and left guard don't take off, the hell am I going to do at right guard if Trey Smith walks at the end of this season? So that's why that deal was important as well. 4-year deal, common deal around the league for offensive linemen, $70 million of guaranteed money. Everybody's happy with this deal, and that's a good thing. Everybody's satisfied. Nobody feels like they got jobbed on this one.
I do like the point, though, that now that they're there and everything, you're putting your trust in this because you pay the guys that you trust. Now you've got to perform.
Yep.
Now you need to see this offense be able to get, 2 or 3 yards on 3rd and 1.
Yes.
You need to see this offense be able to block for Patrick
Mahomes.
Yeah,
there's no more excuses.
No, man. Like, now you are.
Pressure's on.
This is it. Like, this is. And look, greatness merits pressure.
Yeah, it does.
Because if you don't have pressure when you're great, then no one really sees the honest truth, because everybody hates you because you've been winning. Everybody wants you to lose because you beat their teams. And now that you've locked up Trey and Creed and you drafted a rookie left tackle that you think maybe everybody passed on, and you're the one team that was like, we're going to take him. And now you're telling us that he should be good to go come training camp in less than a week from yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Then now it's like, okay, then I want to see this offense again. I want to see this team be a full team, because I don't honestly think we've ever seen this team really live up to its full potential. And maybe finally we'll get it because everybody might stay healthy for once in Mahomes' damn life. Maybe once he has a defense and an offense at the same time. And if that is the case and we do move forward, then I'll shut my mouth and I'll sit back and I'll put a cigar in. I'll say, Brett Veach, damn it, you did it again. But there is pressure to be warranted when it comes to signing guys like this, like Bolton and Creed and Trey, because now you've drafted Worthy and Rice. You've got some control over that. You've got a rookie left tackle. And now you're kind of putting this line around Patrick Mahomes. Now let's see that offensive old.
You know, it's really a utopic situation to be able to draft guys and sign guys. Like, that's the goal, right? Draft the right guys and then sign those guys to their next contract in the NFL. Like in baseball, draft those guys, develop talent, bring them up to the big leagues, have homegrown players all over the board. Chiefs got a lot of homegrown players, which is great in the NFL. Free agency is such a fallacy in this league. So you keep your guys in place. There's more pressure on Jalen Moore and Justin Simmons this year than there is on Josh Simmons. Yeah. Who's Justin Simmons? He played for the Broncos, Denver, right? Yep. Yeah, can't mention that team. But
they'll come after you.
Yeah, exactly. Like that left tackle position this year, I feel bad for both of those guys because every single person from the upper deck to Raytown to Olathe to Chillicothe to Eastern Jack is going to be watching that left tackle this year.
Microscope.
Every
and left guard.
God blessed. You know, I can say that word on the air. Boomer Esiason says it all the time. But every single play, we're all going to be watching that. I feel bad for whoever the left tackle is. I honestly do. I know they're making a lot of money, but that guy's going to be over-scrutinized. And God forbid they give up a sack on the left side down in Brazil. Well, at least we have Saturday and Sunday to get through before Monday comes, and we'll forget about that. But God forbid that left tackle doesn't come out and play his balls off to start this season. Every freaking person in this town is going to be a left tackle critic. I feel bad for that guy.
That starts next Tuesday.
It does. I mean, we're going to be watching him in training. Oh, he got beat by Karloftis on the first play. You know,
Exactly.
There's going to be some dope up there taking notes and telling everybody that the left tackle doesn't look good. Like, I don't know that we've seen a position that is going to be this criticized and scrutinized in this town since
quarterback, wide receiver.
I don't know. I mean, like an individual player that's going to have so much pressure than that left tackle, because I think fans are to the point now where like, all right, we're tired of this. Mm-hmm. Solve this issue right now. Mahomes is to that point. Solve this issue right now. So we're like all in this together. Poor dude.
There's a term they use called boomers. There's a term that I call called zoomers. And those are the people that, you know, they open up their iPhone. They kind of open up a little bit more to CCC, the magnifying glass.
Right.
That is on the left side of the line.
No doubt. The entire left side. Again, it's not just the left tackle. It's the left guard as well.
For sure.
Whoever gets that spot. You're replacing a Hall of Famer in Joe Tooney, a guy that never made a mistake.
Yep.
Made a mistake on that offensive line. So you're replacing that cat. And now you could potentially have a rookie slash guy who's not played a lot at the left tackle position. It's going to be a quick learning curve. Those guys got to get their acting gear today.
Yeah, and the pressure's risen because you don't have the money to allocate to that position now next season.
Right.
Now that you've paid the center and the right guard the most money at those positions, both for those both players, then you now have to hit that. Josh Simmons has raised that pressure because you have to hit that pick. You don't have money. You don't have assets. That left side of the line is going to be screwed.
Especially if you're going after Karloftis and McDuffie now. And again, that's 100% where their focus is from enough sources inside the NFL. They're going after McDuffie and Karloftis now. Those are the next two guys. You don't want to go into next offseason going, Jesus, we got a left tackle problem again.
Exactly.
Yeah, because if left tackle doesn't work, you don't have Karloftis.
No. And I don't think you have Karloftis either way, to be honest.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I think that contract, the way it is in the league, it's so high that it's like, unless you are, I mean, the Bengals aren't even paying Trey Hendrickson.
Also 31. Karloftis is what, 26 years old,
fair.
You know, when he gets, he's entering the prime of his career. But they're saying they want both of those guys. Well, until we don't see him, then,
I want to.
But the Chiefs, if they want a guy, they get the deal done. They really do. There hasn't been a guy that they've wanted to get a deal done with that has walked away.
I will say, we look at Veach's draft picks for the future and what that entails. Ashton Gelati, same college coach as Karloftis, very similar player. Just keep that in mind.
Okay. Yeah, again, and that's the other thing. Look at where they drafted.
Yep.
Look at what they've done.
They'll show you.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
Weekly poll question on X, formerly known as Twitter, for Fesco and Dusty's poll question. Real simple. I want to know if this, what the percentage of this is why I'm inquiring about this. Do you like slash agree with the Trey Smith signing? Yes or no? It's that simple. I want to see the percentage of yeses versus the percentages of no. Prove me wrong. 913-586-7965. On the other side, the guy that broke the TV in the studio, Jay Binkley. He'll join us next here on 96.5 The Fan. You are home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Hey, what you up, man?
On your home for Kansas City Sports, 96.5.
Yeah, I'm good to do it, Dust Man. Hey, by the way, I didn't break that TV, man. I was watching the All-Star game. I didn't touch it.
Yeah, but it's not on. It's not working. We can't figure it out. Did you turn it off?
Here's the deal. Somebody messed with something because it was hard just to get on. But I had it on the All-Star game. I didn't touch it after that. You heard me. But it took a while to get the thing on. It's like the source button or something like that. But it took a while to get the thing on.
The once source I got on, button. I didn't touch it. So we got to hit the source button is what you're saying. Dusty, grab that remote.
HDMI one. It's got to be HDMI one. I'll fix it for you guys. But well,
by the time you get here, we're gone. I mean, so, you know.
Yeah. I'm just saying it took a while to turn the thing on, so I just left it on, hoping to be on for you guys still. So.
No, it's not. It's gone.
It sounds like a bunch of lies.
Yeah, hit source over there and give yourself HDMI no one,
lies,
Dusty.
No lies told, Bob.
Yeah. Well, hey, I saw you at the Royals game the other day taking pictures, being with the people. Yeah. I mean, like, what's going on, man? You were out there, like, kissing babies and whatnot?
Yeah, I took the guy from, where is Daddy Station from Western New York that covers the Bills, so I thought he'd take him to a couple of Royals games. You wanted to see his Mets in action, so went out there. And I'll be honest with you, I've been out there a ton of times.
No lie, please.
Obviously, you guys know how many times I used to go out there.
Oh, yeah, too many. Yeah, way too much.
65, 78. Well, then I did Royals Insider for a while. I had to be at everyone. But I was there a billion times, but I've always gone to the press box. Mm-hmm. That's just where I've said I haven't really gone out there, and said I've given those tickets to my mom or family or whatever. But this time, and I'm not getting around real well, as you know, right now. My hip's so bad, I'm using that walker and everything. So I've never experienced a cave from that side, said the Diamond Club there. But I was blown away. Mm. And so was Gene. He's from New York. And obviously in New York, first thing he thought of, said when he got off the plane, he goes, "I can't believe how everybody's nice here." Well, that translated over to Royal Stadium as well. I was blown away with just how nice every single person there is, from the parking attendants to when you go in the gate, everybody's saying, "Hey, how's your day? How you doing?" I mean, I couldn't believe that a pro stadium, that everybody acted like that in that way. I was just blown away by the experience. I was like, the Royals have something really good going on here because every single person there wants to be there, and it showed.
It's always been that way, though. The ushers have always been fantastic and nice and sweet and wonderful out there, especially Marge who runs the door.
It was everybody, Bob.
Yeah.
It was everybody. People in the parking lot, the parking. I mean, just everybody was. I mean, it's unusual for everybody to be like that.
Well, they're all having a royal day, Jay.
It was a customer experience all the way through. Even through your rain delay, hour and a half rain delay on Friday night, they're wiping your seats down and everything else. It was just top notch.
That just means it's time for more beer. Binkley,
there was a lot of.
Were you there? Was a lot of beer at the game?
There was a lot of beer had at the game by myself.
Nice. So, how about that All-Star game last night?
I loved it, man. I loved it, and I loved how they're grabbing a hold of youth because. Go in that parking lot. I actually asked people when we parked, it's like, do you like having your tickets on your phone and stuff like this? And to a person, because I heard somebody complain about it. And they said no, because baseball is such an older audience, they're trying to gravitate towards that younger audience. I thought it was awesome. Having McAfee do those introductions at the Home Run Derby, I thought was great.
Yep.
The ABS thing I thought was just fantastic.
The best.
And then the Home Run Derby at the end. You got to be kidding me. That was just exciting. That was fun. It was like an NHL shootout, man. I mean, that actually brought excitement to Major League Baseball. Rob Manfred in baseball has done a lot of things the wrong way, especially starting the season overseas when everybody else is in spring training. But baseball's been getting it right lately, and they've been getting it right all the time. But that All-Star game was, for not having anything on the line whatsoever, epic stuff.
You move on to the NFL, and I ask you, does signing Trey Smith add pressure to this team and to this offense?
A little bit. It's go time for this team. I think they realize they've been 15th in the NFL in scoring the last 2 years. And I think they did have one hand tied behind their back last year, to be honest with you, because I reference them as the St. Joe Chiefs. St. Joe Chiefs last year were fun. They were explosive. They were talking in the tent about how this offense is throwing the ball downfield, and boom, people get hurt. The offense reverts itself, and the offense, has that bad effort against Philly in the Super Bowl, which is always magnified when you're playing in that game. So, yeah, I think there's some pressure to succeed. I think there's pressure in the interior now to be good. Can Kingsley replace Joe Tooney? Because you have a first-team All-Pro at center. Trey Smith, obviously, this guy's going to be an All-Pro at some point. He's a Pro Bowler now, but he'll be All-Pro. They've got to be able to move that ball when it's third and one, fourth and one. That's the heart of that line. But it shows you the magnitude and how important that left tackle is. Because they had three guys last year that were Pro Bowlers. They had two first-team All-Pros on that line. That's three members of your five-member offensive line, either in the Pro Bowl or All-Pro. That's something other teams don't have. They got to utilize that, but it just shows you how important that left tackle. Yes, having Trey Smith back here was perfect. He's a company guy. You always figured this was going to happen with Trey. Listen, he saved the Chiefs money, to be honest with you. He didn't just play on the tag. It would have cost him more next year because other guards would have signed in the meantime, and the price for doing business would have gone up. But when the salary cap went to $279.2 million this year, when the Chiefs were expecting $270 million, that really gave him an extra $9 million kind of in the bank because of what the salary cap was. So it gave that extra money and made this thing a lot easier for him when the salary cap's up over $9 million from what they expected. But Trey Smith, the company guy, it showed it because he didn't play on the franchise tag, went ahead, got this deal done with the Chiefs. I do honestly think it would have cost them more money last year. But yes, pressure to succeed, pressure to block for Patrick Mahomes, because the world saw Patrick Mahomes scrambling for his life, and that's not what you want to do. You have that quarterback one time in your lifetime.
So
that's it. New England's never having another Tom Brady. Kansas City's never having another Patrick Mahomes. Do what you can. I've always said draft the players, sign the players for Patrick Mahomes. Having a good defense, that's great, but you need to take care of Patrick.
Do you think the left tackle will be the most scrutinized individual in Kansas City sports history?
I think so. I mean, wait, it just gives the magnitude of the situation. You're talking about a team that's gone to five Super Bowls with this group. They've won three of them. They've been to seven straight AFC title games. So, yeah, I mean, the pressure is on there. We look at other teams in this town that have played, and you bring in free agents or whatever, and you draft them, and there's scrutiny, but there's no pressure. When Bobby came up as the number one prospect in baseball, there wasn't that initial pressure for him. But when you're playing on a ready-made team that's in a window, it's got a couple future Hall of Famers on it that are Super Bowl caliber team right now, and that's your glaring weakness. That's your kryptonite, the left tackle. 100% it'll be scrutinized this year. It'll be talked about. If Josh Simmons works, it'll be a home run for the Chiefs. Man, this was a great pick. All these other teams passed on him. They got him. They went out and signed Jalen Moore. But if that left tackle doesn't work, it puts him back to square one. And so, yes, it will be the most anticipated, highly scrutinized position of the Chiefs that we've seen.
Well, Binkley, you got a couple days without any sports on TV, so you should watch like Squid Game or Love Island or Love on the Spectrum if you'd like. Says we got 2 days until we get baseball again.
Let me tell you something, Dust Man.
There we go.
This time of the year is a big bag of suck.
I disagree. It's a great time of the year.
I'm with you, Bing.
No, it's fun to talk about. I'm doing the night show again tomorrow night. It's fun. There's a lot of things to talk about.
Maybe the TV will be working.
I do like the live sports on. I do like the live sports. When's that stupid ESPY show on? Is that
tonight?
On this week?
Tonight, yeah. You're not going to watch Gillis, that, man. Shane Gillis is on the ESPYs tonight.
I'll watch Shane Gillis. I do like Shane Gillis, so I'll watch watch it for Shane Gillis. But I don't like award shows. But what I will watch Shane Gillis.
What do you like besides sports and beer?
I don't think much, Bob, to be honest with you.
Boobs.
I like history. Yeah, boobs are great. Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a whole lot outside of that, Bob.
Yeah, I didn't think so. All right, Bink.
Well, get some rest, man. You were up here about 4 hours ago. So we'll talk to you. Well, they'll talk to you next Wednesday, and we'll listen to you tomorrow night.
All right, Dust Man. See you, Bob.
Take care, Jay.
Bye. Mr. Jay Binkley there. Seems like he's okay with it. Seems like he agrees with the left tackle position as well, with the pressure that could come from that.
I mean,
as well.
I can't think of another player that's had so much like legitimate scrutinization, right? Is that a Canadian for scrutinization? Like, I know we like complain about Daniel Sorensen or Alex Rios or Omar Infante and stuff like that, but like legitimately, like this dude, whoever's playing left tackle this year, bro, like there ain't no learning curve for you. You better get out there and dominate from square one, because everybody's watching you. Every grandma, every grandpa, every child, every toddler, every adult, like everybody in Kansas City is talking about the left tackle. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. It's like it's insane. That's all anybody's talking about.
We'll take a break from the Chiefs. We'll get back to them a little bit later on the 7 o'clock hour. But coming up next, it's the over-under win totals for the Royals. Where do they land? Where do you think they land? On the other side here, 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City Sports, 96.5 The Fan.